Seated. Our gospel lesson is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, where we continue in our Sunday morning series in Luke's gospel, and where Luke, led by God's Spirit, wrote these wonderful words concerning the grace and love, the healing power, the nourishing mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' And he rose and stood there, and Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Come, gracious Holy Spirit, and grant us to receive the words that you inspired, and through them grant us to meet with Jesus, taste his nourishing grace, know his healing touch, and rest in him and our Father's love, that we might flourish to the honor and glory of our triune God. Through Christ we pray, amen. Well, one of the great themes of God's story of redemption that runs throughout Holy Scripture is that true human flourishing comes through knowing God's beloved Son. This was foretold in the New Testament. It comes into fruition in the New as Jesus says things like, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." Or as St. Paul speaks in Galatians 5 of the fruit of the Spirit, really the human character of Christ reproduced in us by the Holy Spirit in Jesus, we truly flourish for God's glory and as a blessing to others. But it was intimated and experienced in part in the Old Testament in Psalm 92, for example. The psalmist says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree. They flourish in the courts of our God." In Hosea 14, God foretold a day when Christ would come and when his people would return to him and dwell under the shadow of his wings and flourish like the grain and blossom like the grapevine. And as Dr. Jerby read from Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 17, God foretold the coming day of his salvation, saying, How great is his goodness, how great is his beauty. Grain shall make the young men flourish, and new wine the young women. That grain, that bread, and new wine that causes God's people to flourish is ultimately Jesus, his incarnate Son, his body given for us, his blood shed for us. Jesus is the Lord and giver of human flourishing. And when you take the various elements of our gospel lesson together, we see that wonderful theme come to the fore once again. 2 points this morning as we consider this wonderful theme. First, Jesus is the Lord of human flourishing. And second, by way of application on this Father's Day, Jesus helps dads help their children flourish. In the first place, Jesus is the Lord of human flourishing. The world, the flesh, and the devil, whom Josiah and Izzy renounced earlier in our service, will tell you that true human flourishing happens apart from God and his Son. That was the lie the serpent told Eve, and that is the lie that he has been repeating ever since. If you truly want to be fulfilled and happy, if you truly want to actualize your potential and really flourish, then the last thing you will want to do is give your life to Jesus and surrender all to him. But the gospel and the children of God testify to something very different. We testify to just the opposite. Our testimony is that true human flourishing comes from knowing the grace of Christ, the adopting love of God the Father, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. Notice the ways in our passage that Jesus proves to be the Lord of human flourishing over against his competitors. On a Sabbath, Luke tells us, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6, on a Sabbath, that is a Jewish Sabbath, what we would call Saturday, Jesus and his disciples were going through some fields, and his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain. Now, in so doing, I mean, these were not their fields. You might say, well, wait a minute, are they stealing? Well, they were actually well within the laws of ancient Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 25 said, if you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you should not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. They had the same law for, you know, vineyards. You could go through and get a handful of grapes, but don't take a bag with you into your neighbor's vineyard. It's the same kind of thing. And these laws were meant to help those in need, while at the same time deterring theft. In other words, it was meant to encourage human flourishing, both for those who were famished and for those who farmed the land. Jesus' disciples were famished, so they ate some grain. But seemingly out of nowhere, the Pharisees popped up. You can just almost imagine them popping up out from behind the grain and saying, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? According to the traditions of the Pharisees, Jesus and his disciples were working. There were some 39 different works that could not be performed on the Sabbath, and they had taken Deuteronomy 23 and 25 and placed them under that list of prohibitions. Well, Jesus answered them in verse 4, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. Here Jesus was referring to an incident that is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21, when David and some of his men, who were likewise famished, ate the bread of the presence because no other food was available to them. Jesus' point to the Pharisees was that if King David could set aside an actual ceremonial law instituted by God himself in an extreme situation so that his men might be fed, how much more could Jesus, the King of Kings, disregard a man-made tradition concerning the Sabbath so that his men might be fed? As Jesus put it in verse 5, the Son of Man, Jesus himself, is Lord of the Sabbath. In Mark's account, we learn that Jesus also told the Pharisees the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath day was a gift from God to his people. It was a day for physical and spiritual refreshment. It wasn't a day for spying on each other and trying to catch each other in an infraction. Its purpose was human flourishing, not legalistic gotchas. Luke placed this episode, which had to do with eating, after his account of Jesus telling the Pharisees and his disciples that his disciples did not fast because the bridegroom had come. You remember that from last week. It was a time for eating and drinking, not for fasting. Matthew, in his gospel, placed this episode right after Jesus' famous words at the end of Matthew 11, where he said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew was showing, by juxtaposing those words with the episode before us this morning in the grain fields, Matthew was showing that Jesus came to set people free from legalism. Here, the legalism of the Pharisees. He came to set people free from works righteousness religion, the treadmill of good works. Remember, on the treadmill, you never pass the finished line. It's never enough. He came to set people free from the burdens, the oppression of works righteousness, and grant people rest in his grace. Jesus is the Lord of human flourishing because true freedom and true rest are found in him. So it was no mistake that he often healed his suffering image bearers on the Sabbath, as Luke tells us he did in verses 6 through 11. Once again, the Pharisees were watching. That's what legalists do. They have nothing better to do. They are always watching to see if you're going to trip up so they can accuse you of something. They had spied on Jesus in the grain fields, and now they were spying on him in the synagogue. is exactly the kind of thing that Paul described in Galatians chapter 2 when he described the legalists who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so that they might bring us into slavery. To them, we did not yield even for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. Well, in the grain fields and the synagogue, Jesus did not yield even for a moment to these legalists. He took grace right to them. In the synagogue, he called the man with the withered hand up in front of them and lovingly, powerfully, beautifully showed himself to be the Lord of human flourishing once again by healing him. And as we've seen pretty much every other time Jesus did something wonderful, the Pharisees hated it. They were filled with, did you hear that? They were filled with fury. Is that like a violent term? They were filled with violent rage. Over what? Over grace. Over mercy. And they discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. That is what Jesus was talking about when he asked them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm, to save life or destroy it? Jesus was determined to do good and bring life on that Sabbath day. They were determined to do harm and destroy life, Jesus' life. Envy and legalism make you lose all sense of grace and mercy. They drive you to do really strange things that have nothing at all to do with God, His love, and the flourishing of others, those made in His image. As William Hendrickson put it, the Pharisees had been shown up in public for what they really were, leaders who set a higher value on their harsh, hair-splitting rules than on God's law of love, and were more concerned about their traditions than about the health and happiness of a tragically handicapped fellow man. Jesus came to upend their oppressive religion. He came to upend all oppressive religion. He came to set captives free by His grace and bring them everlastingly into His Father's love that we might flourish in Him. Jesus is the Lord of all human flourishing. And by way of application on this Father's Day, Jesus helps fathers help their children flourish. Jesus helps fathers help their children flourish. Fathers, here is my word for you today. Rest in Jesus. Amen. Now I've got a little bit more. Rest in Jesus. In summary, that's my word for you today. Rest in Jesus. Rest in His grace. Rest in His Father's love for you. Remember that before you are a father, you are a son. An adopted son of God. In Jesus, God says to you, you are my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. Bask in Jesus' grace and your Father's love. And ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to show that grace and love to your children. Yes, they need your direction. Yes, they need your discipline. But all that must be given in the context of them knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you love them no matter what. What they need to flourish is not you acting like a Pharisee, always watching them to catch them and accuse them. What they need from you is grace. The grace you receive from Jesus, who is so gracious with you. If you want them to really flourish, assure them by your words and your actions that they can rest in your love. And when you do things that might make them doubt it, repent immediately, ask their forgiveness, and show them the grace that Jesus shows you. But make it your aim as a father to let them know that whatever's going on, they can rest in your love and that you love them and there's nothing they can do about it. If you want them to flourish, show them the grace that your heavenly Father has shown you in his beloved Son. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.